Before we get started today, let me tell you the podcast is brought to you by the Oxford Exxon Highway 6 West in Oxford. Go in, get a lunch special. I believe it's chicken spaghetti today, $4.99, two sides, bread, 32-ounce drink there. You get ribs tonight if you'd like to stop by and pick something up for dinner. You get a clean convenience store. You get good gas prices and much more there with the Oxford Exxon. And we're coming to you from the Clark Ford Studio, 662-257-1900, Highway 25 South in Amory, Mississippi with Clark Ford. You give Corey a call during business hours. It takes just 15 minutes to get a quote. You can shop it around. You can take it whatever your heart desires. And when you're working out your deal, tell them you heard about him on the podcast. $500 off your final deal with Clark Ford and Amory. Now on to the show.
From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something that you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
Welcome to this Monday edition of the Oxford Exxon Podcast. Chase Palm, Neil McCready, Clark Ford Studio this morning. Ole Miss knocks off Vanderbilt by 10 in Nashville on Saturday night, winning their eighth or ninth in a row, now 11-2 overall. 1-0 in the SEC with a huge week upcoming. Wednesday night on ESPN2, they face Auburn at home, and then Saturday for a noon tip at Mississippi State. So a couple ranked teams coming up on the schedule for Ole Miss. It does not get any easier before they do get a couple home games in a row against LSU and Arkansas, and that Iowa State game looming a little bit as well. Kansas without their big-time player who's now out for the season, but Iowa State did knock off the Jayhawks on Saturday as well. So we'll talk a good bit of basketball today on the show. Neil, you were in Nashville on Saturday night. Ole Miss kind of hung around, got a big spurt from Terrence Davis. Brian Tyree was tremendous, and they pulled the game out that at least gives them a heck of an opportunity on Wednesday as we move forward.
Yeah, it's always a fun place to go to a game. It's a kind of a neat environment. It's like a really nice high school gym on steroids, and they had a big crowd. Ole Miss brought a lot of people. It was a big Vanderbilt crowd. It was a fun environment, and the first half was about as even as a first half can be. And Vandy kind of jumped on Ole Miss a little bit in the second half, got a 6-point lead. Terrence Davis had four fouls quickly. K.J. Buffin got three fouls quickly, and K.J.'s about as important to this team as Terrence is. And I thought at that moment Ole Miss was on the ropes. I talked with Kermit Davis about this afterwards, kind of down in the tunnels of the arena, and he thought the same thing. He thought, yeah, you know, they're at that moment in some trouble. Vandy had come out shooting well in the second half. If you go back and look at it, they made their first handful of shots. Matt Ryan made a couple of threes, and it looked like they were getting ready to kind of take over the game. Their young freshman, Shatu is a man, he's going to play in the NBA for a long time. Really good player. Long, athletic, can go coast to coast with the ball, is effective at the rim. And he was starting to kind of take over a little bit. And this is where I wrote about this in 10 Thoughts a little, and you and I talked about it yesterday. There's so much talk out there for two reasons. One, because it's Kermit's reputation. And two, it's because it's what a lot of, frankly, old Ole Miss fans want to hear. And so there's this narrative that, man, they just buckle you down with defense. That's going to be true one day. You can see it happening. But this is going to be his worst defensive team at Ole Miss. If he's here 5 years or if he's here 15, this team is going to be his worst defensive team. They're winning because they're gritty as hell. They're completely bought in. And most importantly, they're making shots. They made shots. They hung in there from the 14-minute mark to about the 9-minute mark when TD came back and took over the game. They hung in. They made just enough shots to stay in the game. And then Davis made a bucket, a steal, led to a bucket that kind of took the game over, and they dominated the game down the stretch. The last 7 minutes or so, they won that by 10 points. So that's dominance. But they stayed in the game with offense, not defense. Now, they threw that 2-3 zone at Vandy late, and it rattled them. And when you don't make shots over a zone, you look terrible. And Vandy missed shots. But this narrative that it's just defense, defense, defense is bunk. I'm not trying to ruin the party for anybody, but enjoy the offense. Bree and Tyree was brilliant offensively on Saturday night. When Davis played, he was good. He just couldn't stay on the floor. He made some big buckets on offense. Devontae Shuler had a big bucket. They ran offense late. I think they were up 6 or up 5. And there's a tendency when you have guards like Davis and Tyree to just settle for a perimeter jump shot. And they didn't. They ran offense. They got it to Henson at the elbow, who dumped it down to Olenichuk at the goal. Got a dunk. I think it was like 1:30-something to go. I thought that was the nail in the coffin for Vandy. They weren't coming back from that unless they knocked down threes, and they didn't, and that was that. And I think you got to give credit to offense. They're running offense. The offensive system right now is far more impressive than the defensive system. People are watching the defense and say, man, their defense is really good. No, right now their defense is not really good. It's going to get good. It's going to get better. But they've got guys on defense that don't understand some fundamentals of defense.
Yeah, looking at it here, I've got KenPom up. And in offensive adjusted efficiency right now, they're 24th nationally offensively. Defensively, they're 88th. The D1 average is 102.8, so they are way above average offensively on efficiency, and they're considerably below average defensively right now from a national level. You look at it here, effective field goal percentage is 9th nationally. I mean, they've got some really nice offensive numbers as I kind of look through it.
Chase, they're a really good offensive team.
Yeah. They've also been really – I mean, again, this is one factor just pointing this out – also been pretty lucky. Opponent free throw percentage is 269th right now overall.
Well, you do a drill.
You can't defend that one.
There's a drill you do in practice to work on the other team's free throws.
Maybe you got really good trash talking skills, and when he gets up there to let it go, you tell a yo mama joke or something, yeah, and hey, yeah, he's flinging that thing all over the yard.
And that was big the other night, and that's why people got mad at Bryce Drew for saying it. But I mean, don't get mad at a guy when he's telling the truth. I mean, Vandy went 17 for 29 from the free throw line. That's 58.6%. That's leaving a lot of points out there. Ole Miss, on the other hand, went 19 of 22. That's 86.4%. In a game where it's completely even, and it was, Ole Miss had 12 turnovers, Vandy had 10. Ole Miss won the boards 36 to 35. When a game's that even, free throws really matter.
Is this a problem? And maybe a problem is probably not the right word, but how much should we look at this? I'm just kind of glancing at these numbers, and a lot of them I have no idea what they mean. But this one I do. Ole Miss getting a lot right now out of Henson and Buffen, the two freshmen.
Yeah.
They're going to hit some walls at some point just because it's a long season and freshmen do.
I think they already hit one, yeah, and Kermit backed off of them a little bit, and they're through it.
Bench minutes so far this season, Ole Miss is 218th nationally. How much is the problem of that over 30 games?
It's huge. It's to the point where Kermit Davis, I asked a question about it the other day, and he kind of looked at me like, I don't know what you want me to say. But I was talking about how you're not a deep team and you got some productive minutes out of your bench. Look, I wrote about this after the game in my column. I thought the win was significant for a number of reasons. Obviously, all the stuff that we talk about. But they went on the road and won a game where Terrence Davis didn't help them until 8 minutes left. Now, they don't need to make that a habit because that probably won't work consistently. But it's a sign that other guys stepped up. I mean, the numbers don't say much. I mean, they really don't. Zach Naylor played 8 minutes, and you're like, well, Neil, so what? Probably wasn't in the cards for him to play 8 minutes coming in. What did he give him? He gave him a rebound. gave him a 2 assists. He blocked a shot. Didn't take a shot. DC Davis came in and played 10 minutes. He didn't give him much. He didn't score. He took a shot, took a 3 and missed it. Got 2 rebounds, and that was it. I think his plus minus was in the minus, but he gave him minutes. I don't think you can say enough about Henson and Buffen, by the way. I mean, they combined to play 48 minutes. I love Blake Henson's game. I've told you this since the beginning. 11 points, 3 rebounds, an assist, a steal. He had 1 turnover, 3 of 6. Made 1 of his 3s. Had a cool little celebration afterwards. And went 4 for 4 from the line. That's a really solid effort for a freshman in his first SEC road game. And Vandy's a nice team. Vandy's not going 4-14 in the league. They're going to win some games.
Ole Miss 46th nationally right now in net, which has replaced the RPI for whatever. It's currently a quadrant one win. Probably stays that way, but either way.
Ole Miss fans should be cheering for 2 teams right now the rest of the way. If you're cheering for Ole Miss, you should be cheering right now. Add these teams to your list of teams to cheer for the rest of the way. San Diego, Vanderbilt.
And Cincinnati, because they lost a game at East Carolina that actually hurt Ole Miss's net. Ole Miss fell 4 spots in the net over the weekend, probably mostly because of Cincinnati when
probably
you look at the whole deal.
Probably so.
Their quadrant one game so far is Cincinnati, who's 25 in the net. That was a neutral site game. Vanderbilt, the win on the road. And then Butler has actually fallen all the way down to 60 in the net. So that one's kind of just hanging on a little bit because it was on the road.
So those are teams.
So Butler may have lost too. I have no idea.
Those are teams to cheer for. I can ask Siri. I don't know.
They have nothing in quadrant 2, and then everything else is in quadrant 3 and 4. As I'm looking at it, San Diego is 103 now. They were actually 78 when I looked at it the other day. So they've fallen 22 spots.
Yeah, you need to cheer for them. You need to cheer for Vanderbilt. And then look, I wrote this the other night. Someone asked, "What does this mean?" Well, it means you got to win. Now you go get more wins. They have 2 huge opportunities this week. Massive opportunities. Just big flashing lights. Opportunity. Auburn's, what are they, the net? I'm guessing about 12, 13. I have no idea. I haven't looked.
Let me find it.
They're up in the top part there.
Yeah, it's going to be high. Auburn is 18.
18. What's
State 17. 2 top 20 nets.
Massive opportunities, including one on the road. Just massive. If you could split these 2 games this weekend, it's a monumental victory. And then it really gets no easier. What's LSU in the net?
LSU in the net. Hold on. Net rank 27.
And then you get Arkansas, which they
73.
Had 73. And then you get Iowa State, which is way high.
They were top 30. I don't know exactly
where. That's fine. It's just opportunity after opportunity after opportunity in January.
Right now, the SEC in the net, Tennessee at 7,
okay.
Ole Miss at 46, Alabama at 63, Arkansas at 73, Carolina at 214, State at 17, Auburn at 18, LSU at 27, Mizzou at 70, Kentucky at 10, Vanderbilt at 45, Florida 33, Georgia 83, and A&M 110.
It's a really good league metrically. It's going to stay good. And you just got to win games. I said this all along.
You'd like for A&M to get their stuff together a little bit. You really don't need that to be in the 100s.
But they're not a particularly good team. It was a big loss for them and a big win for Arkansas to go get a road win. Look, if you factor in Iowa State as a league game for this metric, they might as well be because they're in the middle of league play. And Iowa State would be an upper echelon SEC team. If you factor in those games, that's 19 games. I think you got to go 11-8 in those games.
Iowa State's exactly 30 in the net right now.
You got to go about 11-8 to realistically have a chance to get in the tournament.
Also worth noting, 30 is the cutoff for a quadrant one win at home.
Right.
So it's 30 at home, 50 neutral, and then 75 away.
Right.
It's a little confusing, I know.
It is. It's all going to work out if you win games. If you win games, it's all going to work out. If you don't win games, it's not going to work out.
Just
the numbers won't matter.
For anybody curious, because I've got it up and Ole Miss does have a win over them, Baylor is 108 in the net currently.
Yeah, so you need to cheer for Baylor.
Yeah.
You'd love for Baylor to go win the Big 12.
Probably not happening, but sure.
Probably not happening. It just in the end
– they actually play Iowa State on Tuesday night.
I mean, we all do this, and it's great podcast fodder, and it's fun writing fodder in late February to start calling the Chris Dortches and the Jerry Palms and all of those people and say, so what do you think? But the bottom line is win games.
Where this has gotten real is that Ken Palm's – metrics, they have no bias. It's just numbers thrown at a computer based off performance.
No, his computer hates Ole Miss. I've talked to it.
Okay. Well, what this did was that was a game they were projected to lose on Saturday. They have won.
Yes.
And it moved some percentages around, and now Ken Palm projects Ole Miss to go 10-8 in the SEC. 12-11 overall, 10-8 in the SEC.
Which just screams bubble.
Well, because it also includes a loss to Iowa State currently.
Right.
Because this is going to be fascinating. This is what's going to be interesting. If Ole Miss can hold serve to any extent to make this matter,
yeah,
is here's their close. They play Tennessee, Arkansas, Kentucky, and Missouri the last four games.
Tennessee at home at Arkansas, Kentucky at home
Missouri
at
away.
Missouri.
Correct. Two and two. Now, look, the Tennessee game is just a free shot, and if you happen to pull it off, and all of a sudden you're, as we said the other day, cooking with gas. Okay?
Yeah, you win that one, and you can go ahead and make your reservation somewhere. They are phenomenal.
Yeah, so you get that free shot on February 27th.
Yeah.
It's a Wednesday night.
Yeah.
It'll be on national television.
That Saturday game in Fayetteville could be huge.
So that's where I'm going with that. From a Ken Palm percentages standpoint, the last three games, he's projecting Ole Miss to lose all three. However, he has it at 43, 44, and 49%.
Yeah.
So you've got just some coin flips late
yeah.
that could really determine this thing either way.
Yeah. And the Vandy game was kind
it
of
was
a coin.
It was 45,
It was kind of
yeah.
coin flippy, and it was a really
good
game.
Well,
because
that's why
really
he has him at 10-8. When I go game by game, he does not have 10 wins, but he just knows they're going to win some coin flips
sure.
and lose some coin flips.
Sure.
So the final projection is different than the game by game standings.
I said this all along. I didn't see a path to the tournament that didn't include a win at Vanderbilt. And then they got it, and I watched them play, and I'm like, man. A couple of the guys that cover Vanderbilt were like, this team's picked to finish next to last or last in the league? I said, yeah, but you can understand why they got picked that way. I mean, I picked them next to last on my preseason ballot because I really couldn't justify anything else without looking like an absolute homer.
Palm is predicting road wins at Carolina, at Georgia, and then has Missouri as a literal coin flip from a road standpoint, just kind of glancing at it. He gives Ole Miss a 45% chance of beating Iowa State at home.
Yeah, well, that would be huge. I'm going to tell you the game that they're going
to projected to be a 75-74 loss.
Yeah, it's flipping a coin.
Yeah.
And I get that. I mean, that's a very biased computer, but I understand where it's coming up with that number. What's he have for Mississippi State, out of curiosity?
Win, home or away?
The one away.
He has Ole Miss losing that game 79-72 and giving Ole Miss a 26% chance in that game.
That one's Saturday. I've got this feeling, just because of Kermit and all that stuff, that's going to be a really emotional game.
He gives them a much better chance, obviously, because it's at home. On Wednesday night, he is projecting Auburn to win that game 77-74.
It should be one hell of a basketball game. Auburn's really good. But Bruce Pearl's teams struggle against Kermit Davis's teams.
Kermit got him at middle last year.
They're going to throw that zone stuff at him. I expect the pavilion will be loud. Auburn hasn't really played any road games to speak of. It's a hell of a shot this week, man. And if they win one of these two this week, I'm not even going to mention winning both, but if they win one of the two this week, you keep saying, when's it get real? It gets real then. It's real at that point.
Auburn to this point has played one game away from home.
It was on a neutral floor.
They've played one true road game to this point.
Who'd
North Carolina State.
Oh, they went
December
to Raleigh.
19th.
How'd they do there?
They lost 78-71.
Yeah.
And
NC State's
site
good.
Games, they beat Xavier. They lost at Duke in a game they played really freaking well.
Yeah.
And that was in Hawaii. They beat Arizona to death.
Yeah.
And then they played UAB neutral and won that game in overtime 75-71.
Yeah.
This will also be their SEC opener on Wednesday night.
It'll be – so it's their second road game.
Talk about a schedule to make some hay. If Auburn got this win on Wednesday, this is the hardest of their first several games, maybe in including the one I'm going to mention in a second. And KenPom agrees with me based off Auburn's percentages to win these games. They open
your
Missouri.
Relationship with KenPom is getting a little fishy.
Well, I know nothing about basketball, so when I have access to KenPom, I just start reading, and that's what I do.
Fair enough.
So Ole Miss away, Georgia at home, A&M away, Kentucky at home, and then South Carolina away. Had a shot there to get three really nice road wins and kind of really build an early resume if they get the Ole Miss game on Wednesday.
Yeah, they'd have a shot at 6-0.
I mean, just from a – I get the home road thing, but I don't think a lot of Ole Miss people would have believed it. He's giving them a much better chance of winning the Kentucky game at home than he is the Ole Miss game on the road right now.
Yeah.
Because Kentucky's not very good,
no.
To be honest. If it did not say Wildcats across the chest, we would not be even talking about Kentucky right now.
So I didn't think Alabama played great. Mm-mm. And Alabama won anyway.
Oh, Alabama tried to lose late and still couldn't, frankly.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a little bit of panic time on Alabama's part, but nonetheless. Continue the basketball discussion in a second. First, tell you about Scripted Jewelry. ScriptedJewelry.com is the website. Just go look at it. So many different options for you between rings and pendants and necklaces. The jewelry of your choice, and you can get whatever script you liked on and have your child write a great message for mom. Graduation gifts. You want to give your son or daughter a memento to keep for a long time. So just go check the website. We're going to give you a little deal here, too. We want to introduce to you last week. Today we'll tell you, you get a 10% discount at checkout with Rebels10. That's one word, R-E-B-E-L-S, 10 for a 10% discount to scriptedjewelry.com. They work with you. They turn it around fast and get you the gift that you so desire. So, again, that's scriptedjewelry.com.
We mentioned my 10-weekend thoughts. They're up at rebelgrove.com. That website is part of the Rivals Network. You can join it by going and subscribing. You get lots of stuff, and you get to be a part of the Rebel Grove community, including all the message boards, which are sometimes quite enlightening and sometimes quite entertaining. So all of that at rebelgrove.com, part of the Rivals Network. 10 Weekend Thoughts are brought to you by Harry Alexander. Harry is an Oxford-based RE/MAX Legacy Realty agent. He's been in Oxford more than 4 decades. No one knows the residential and condo market in Oxford better than he does. Go to his site, terryalexander.com. Click on the Properties and Neighborhoods tab. Filter through by what you're looking for. And then send him an email. It's ha@harryalexander.com. Guests will join us this week on the Patterson and Earhart Hotline. Patterson and Earhart, attorneys at law, specialize in personal injury law and real estate law. But theirs is a general practice that can handle any of your legal needs. When you contact Patterson and Earhart, you speak to one of the partners in the firm. And that's who will handle your case, not some paralegal at a faceless corporate firm. If Patterson and Earhart can't help you, they'll refer you to someone who can. John Calvin Patterson and Wes Earhart are Ole Miss guys. They're local guys. And when you call them, you're going to get one of them on the phone within the same day, guaranteed. So whether you've been injured in a car wreck or have other legal issues, give them a call, 662-526-1992, or check out their website, pelaws.com. Your initial consultation is free. Also brought to you by Home 2 Suites in Oxford. It's open and ready for you. If you're coming to Oxford in January for Rebel Hoops, you can stay at the Home 2 Suites. It's conveniently located 1 mile from campus, just off the old Taylor Road exit. They're offering a 20% discounted rate the entire week of pop-up Oxford. That's January the 19th through the 26th. You have to call the front desk to receive the discount when booking. So that includes the Arkansas home game. It's a pet-friendly hotel. You don't have to leave your four-legged friends behind. They have a designated area for walks that are complete with the pet station for your convenience. So be sure to follow them on social media. Don't miss the announcement for when football weekend reservations will open. And we remind you that you need to step into the new year in style. You need to experience the difference a quality sock makes. This is the first step in dressing for the job you want, not the job you have. So go to deadsexy.com, enter the code REBEL.
Deadsoxy.com.
See, I'm doing your thing. I'm
going to be very careful today, Mr. McGrady.
Yeah, I'm not even at the blow-dry bar yet, and I'm talking about Dead Sexy. DeadSoxy.com. DeadSoxy. Remember the O right there. Enter the code Rebel Grove at checkout to receive 25% off all orders, including sale orders. So remember the promo code Rebel Grove at checkout for 25% off all orders, and Happy New Year from Dead Soxy.
Podcast also brought to you by Community Mortgage, Oxford, Memphis, Soto County, and Chattanooga. All underwriting and processing is done in Memphis. You're getting local underwriting that understands your market, a leader in condo financing, and the float down option. You can find Jason at 662-234-2704 or JLowe, J-L-O-W-E, at communitymtg.com. See, I actually kind of helped you out there. You failed to catch me the other day and assist in the error.
Well, I was writing something during your reads, and I thought I heard you say it, and then you didn't.
I didn't know it till later. I had no idea.
See, people said you flinched.
Nah.
I didn't hear you flinch.
No, I had no clue.
And so when you didn't flinch, I thought, no, I didn't hear.
I have not gone back to listen, but I'm fairly certain it happened. I'll take everyone's word for it, but I did not go to hit the play button and listen to myself.
But that's why I didn't help you out, is because I thought in my mind I was wrong. It's not what he said.
I did just check out deadsexy.com, and thankfully it's a broken website. It is, we are not sending people to who knows what. In the fetish world,
there you
or
go.
Anything. So, family podcast here.
Yes,
that's what it is. Family podcast.
Or just remember the O.
In yes.
Dead Soxy.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Whew. Okay. Good enough. All good. Anything else? Basketball. Let's see. Who'd State have in the midweek? Just because I'm kind of curious.
I don't know. I can find it.
I got it. I've got ESPN up. I've got Ken Palm up, but you know. I got Warren Nolan up too. They play South Carolina in Columbia on Tuesday night on ESPNU. If you'd like to check out the Gamecocks and the Bulldogs on Tuesday,
they'd be advised to win that game.
Well, they've won most of their games. They have one loss so far this season.
Yeah, they're a good team.
Arizona State is their one loss. Now Vanderbilt did beat up Arizona State pretty good. If you want to start playing the transitive property game a little bit, but
the games on Tuesday are Tennessee at Missouri, Texas A&M at Kentucky, Alabama at LSU, which actually should be a really good game, and Mississippi State at South Carolina. The games on Wednesday are Vanderbilt at Georgia, Auburn at Ole Miss, Florida at Arkansas. Pretty big opportunity there for the Hogs. And then I don't know if there's a Thursday game or not. No games Thursday, and the games on Saturday are Missouri at South Carolina, Ole Miss at Mississippi State. That game's on CBS at noon, thankfully. I like noon for road games. That's beautiful. Texas A&M at Alabama, Georgia at Auburn, Tennessee at Florida, LSU at Arkansas, and Vanderbilt goes to Kentucky.
Vanderbilt with an interesting week at Georgia, at Kentucky, to try to avoid going completely into the tank before this thing gets going.
I think they'll beat Georgia, and I won't be shocked if they beat Kentucky. They're okay.
This doesn't feel like the Kentucky team that finds it at some point. You know, always, you know, a lot of times, like the year they played Wichita in the NCAA tournament, beat them and went on that run, this doesn't feel like that team. This feels like the Robert Morris NIT loss team that just never finds any continuity because you got a bunch of one-and-done kids.
Yeah, I don't like their chances against veteran backcourts. Look, Vanderbilt caught a bad break losing Darius Garland. I mean, they're a tournament team with Garland. Ole Miss has these veteran guards who've played a lot of basketball. That's why everybody's upset at Bryce Drew's answer, and because I think they wanted him to say, "Oh, they're so different with Kermit and blah 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 blah." And he's not going to do that. Not when he's recruiting against Kermit, including a kid there in the arena the other night. Mm-hmm. He's not going to do that. Hey, there's this guy that's kicking my ass, and every time I play him, I lose. And he really runs a great program, and he's a great player development guy.
Let's give that soundbite out there.
Let me put that out today while this kid's right here in my building. Of course he's not going to do that. But if you take the rest of the comment and read it, he's right. And he did give a compliment to Ole Miss. He said that their bodies look different. Someone's doing something in strength and conditioning that's different.
He was accusing him of being on steroids is what he was doing.
Well, maybe he was. I don't think they are. It's one of those deals where if you listen to what he said, though, he talks about how, and Bryce Drew knows this as a player, that experience that these guys have, this veteran backcourt, gives you a shot, man. Shuler's played a lot of SEC basketball. Tyree's played a lot of SEC basketball. Terrence Davis has played more than either of them. It's a lot of guys, that's a lot of experience in that backcourt. And those three guys are carrying them right now. They've really played well. Bree and Tyree would be a first-team All-SEC kid if they stopped and voted right now today.
What's the biggest difference with him?
Confidence.
Is that what it is?
Experience. He can score at all three levels. As Kermit talked about the other night, he's got a really good mid-range game.
Is it fair that we're just seeing the effects of being 100% mentally and physically past that knee?
Yeah. Andy talked about that his freshman year.
That it was going to take.
If you remember, Andy used to say this. I'm not getting into the Andy argument here. I'm just saying he used to say, hey, when this kid gets over that knee injury, and sometimes it takes you a year, he's going to be a force. He can really get to the rim. He's very athletic. And, I mean, he's scoring at the rim. He's shooting well from three. He's got his mid-range game is the strongest part of his offense. There's a – I hate this comparison because it's not fair to the kid, and I'm not comparing him to the – he has a similar style of game to Russell Westbrook. Now, he's not as big as Russell Westbrook, and I'm not saying he's Russell Westbrook, so stop. But his style of game is very similar. If you watch Westbrook play a lot, he'll make that shot from the elbow when he's on, when he's healthy, that stop and pull up 18-foot jump shot over and over and over. It's very difficult to defend when you know that if you play too close on him, he's going to go by you and get to the rim. And that's what Tyree can do.
Yeah, it's my running joke. We always compare the players to the superstars. It's always, right. Well, because it's one little piece of the game, you know. I mean, it's like in football. I mean, you're not comparing linebackers to Jolon Dunbar. Like it's you always pick the Urlacher or somebody out and go, hey, he's got a little bit of that in him.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah,
because it's easy. Everybody understands
right.
It. It's
and that's kind of what I'm trying to do. If you don't watch the Thunder much, you don't know what I'm talking about. If you watch the Thunder a good bit, you know what I'm talking about. When Westbrook is healthy and in his game, he's knocking down that mid-range jumper over and over and over until teams start playing on him, and then he's driving by guys to get to the rim, and he's a very good facilitator. It's the part of, frankly, to support our original point, the other night Kermit was asked about Brian's game, and he said he's got to get better defensively. That's if you want something to cling to get you really excited for this team, it's this. Kermit Davis's teams have a reputation that has been earned over two decades of they light you up on defense. They stifle you. They shut you down. They frustrate you for 40 minutes. They wear you out. This team isn't doing that yet.
Yeah, this isn't some version of Nolan Richardson's Arkansas teams without the press clippings to this point. I mean,
right.
not there yet.
That's kind of my point.
He doesn't have, frankly, the link to run some of his 1-3-1 he wants to run. I mean, it's
well, and Stevens is just it's just bad in the post right now. And he's what I love watching Davis coach because he's got, and I mean this as a compliment, there's a certain degree of almost a high school coach in him where every time like one of the bigs makes this stupid mistake, he looks to the bench and just points. And there's going to come a day, not this year, where his program is to the point where he's going to have multiple dudes on that bench.
And can point and mean something.
And there's going to be able to do something. I mean, right now that he's there's a certain misfit toys element to part of the roster that happens with any coaching transition. And I'm not picking on Bruce Stevens as a person or a player, but Bruce has to get better on the defensive end. He has to get better, and he probably will get a little better. They're going to get better on defense. So if you're looking for something to cling to, it's that. But the people that are doing this narrative, man, right now with Brand, their defense is just so different, and it's just killing people. It's just not true. You're just telling people stuff they want to hear.
we talked about this a couple weeks ago, and it's continued, so I think it's worth mentioning again, because this is not about, hey, let's go throw some money down. Ole Miss is now 12-1 against the spread this season. 12-1 on the spread in games. And
what was the line the other night? 2.5? 3?
Yeah, it was 2.5. Yeah. It was 2.5. Vandy giving 2.5. So yeah. The over-under was 157. I don't know what the – so it went
152,
under.
152, they went under.
Yeah, it was 157. But the point being, Vegas is not one to just stay with one narrative and let you make money off of them all year. They are adjusting lines because of Ole Miss winning games and covering spreads.
They got computers too.
So it's a Vegas example of Ole Miss improving because they keep beating those expectations as Vegas moves those expectations. You know, the first game of the year, and I get Vandy had a loss in there where they had a kid injured. But
Kent State.
Well, no. I'm saying my point being, if they had that player, obviously expectations change. But, you know, first game of the year, if Vandy and Ole Miss played, Vandy would have been more than a 2.5-point favorite is my point. So,
probably would have been an 8.5-point favorite.
Yeah, so Ole Miss continues to kind of beat the Vegas expectations. That's why I'm fairly interested in where this line comes out on Tuesday, Wednesday. Because, I mean, this has been pretty public in all the betting circles of, hey, Ole Miss is not losing games here, guys.
There's no line on Auburn yet?
No, it usually won't come out till late tomorrow for a Wednesday game. Gotcha. Basketball is pretty slow on getting them out ahead of time. They typically wait. I don't know why that is, but they do not throw out advanced lines very often.
So, I don't blame them.
No, it's even a Wednesday morning sometimes before you really can jump on some of those lines. I mean, my Auburn by 1.5, 2.
I'm trying to think.
Don't you give them just a tiny bit of whatever?
Yeah,
because that means if it's in Auburn, the line's 6, 6.5.
Yeah,
probably.
I was going to say Auburn's probably a 2.5 to 3, 3.5-point favorite.
That's fair.
If the game ran Auburn, they'd be about a 6-point favorite.
Yeah.
McCrady said Auburn's going to win by 6.
Well, didn't you?
No.
Kind of
think Ole Miss might win.
If I told you they got one or the other, which one are they getting? Because you like the whole emotional thing on Saturday.
The easy answer would be they get Auburn because it's at home.
But?
I've got a funny feeling about Saturday, and I have for a long time. I've told you for a while that I thought there were two kind of interesting bets one could make. One would be to take Ole Miss and the points at Mississippi State on Saturday, and then turn around and take LSU and the points next week at home in Oxford. That they get sky high this week and have a little letdown.
That's fair.
I mean, just kind of if you're looking for something that to steal some money, that might be a path.
Oh, there's not going to be a lack of motivation on Saturday in Starkville.
I can't imagine that Kermit Davis has ever coached a game that he wanted to win more.
Yeah, he does this a lot. He did it on our live show. He does it all the time. When he says nobody wants to beat State more than Kermit Davis, he's telling the truth.
Yeah. Look,
it's personal.
We're going to have an opportunity to talk to him today and then again on Friday. And on Friday, the State thing's going to come up. And I don't know what he'll say.
He's not going to give 100% of the truth here.
But when Mississippi State hired Rick Ray, this is what people in the business tell me. I've never talked about this with Kermit Davis. I'm probably going to ask him. He's probably going to stare a hole through my soul at that moment. And that's okay. Sometimes you have to do your job and we'll all move forward. I think he's beginning to determine that I'm fair. The word on the street is that when Mississippi State hired Rick Ray, they did so after basically leading Kermit Davis on to believe that he was getting the job. And they hired Rick Ray, and he found out about it the same way that the rest of the world found out about it, and that it did not particularly go over well.
I mean, you know, when you get a chance to hire Rick Ray, you hire Rick Ray. I mean, I'm just saying.
Yeah, that was a mistake.
Well, there was a group of people at State that said, hey, it's been a little grimy around here. Been a lot of grimy around here. Let's just clean it up. And when we do that, we are going to get our heads kicked in for a while. And they did. That's what happened.
Not the best strategy in the world.
Not the best strategy in the world.
Didn't go well.
Yeah, but he recruited a lot of really good kids, and they
yeah, that's fine. That's awesome.
They also went 3-15 in the league or whatever he did. But
I mean,
that was an abomination of a program there at one point.
Stansberry was slimy.
Still is.
Those Cats won.
He's recruiting top 100 kids at Western. What are you talking about?
And the Hump was a hard place to play in back then.
It was.
I mean, I was in there. I covered an Auburn team that ended up being a one seed. It's a pretty good Auburn club that went in there and just they couldn't handle it. It was so loud.
Is that like Porter and Njai? And those
yeah,
guys?
All those cats.
Yeah.
Couldn't hear.
How do you spell Njai?
N apostrophe lowercase d I a y e.
Ooh, I didn't have that one anywhere close to right. Really?
Yeah. First name was Mamadou.
Yeah.
M a m a d o u.
Ooh. It's kind of impressive 15 years later.
Yeah.
15? And at 03, 02, somewhere in there?
So 01.
01?
Yeah, I think so.
They were a one seed?
Yep.
Who beat them?
They lost to Ohio State in the Sweet 16. Scooney Penn and
Michael Redd. There you go.
Yep. Played like crap.
Did they really?
Yep. That team kind of peaked a little bit and mm-hmm. got super tight late.
They won the SEC?
Won the SEC regular season championship, lost in the semifinals of the tournament to Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
It's when I asked Damian Fishback if he was concerned that every time they played a team with a big name on their chest that they kind of got tight, and Chris Porter just screamed at me, what kind of effing question is that? And I informed him, well, I think it's a legitimate question, and more importantly, it wasn't directed to you. And I thought at that moment that I was going to be beaten by a 6'7" athlete.
Chris Porter could have taken you, I'm pretty sure.
I don't like my chances in that fight. And that was before I was a runner.
He was that high strung in the SEC tournament?
He was high strung pretty much all the time.
Was he really?
Yeah, pretty much. Supposedly he's kind of calmed down now, but back then he was pretty.
Where is one Christopher Porter these days?
I think he's back in Alabama.
Huh.
Just
living
life. He played overseas for a while.
I mean, Ohio State would count as a big name on the chest, so the theory might have played out.
Well, they went
out
to the tournament, and they played Winthrop with Greg Marshall in the first game, played okay and won. And then they played Oklahoma State, led by one of the most incredible dance teams I've ever seen in my life, in the second game. And Oklahoma State damn near got them that day in Indianapolis.
Oh, that was that year. Okay.
Yeah. Gotcha. Yeah.
I'm having a hard time finding it. What year?
It was 2000, maybe.
Okay. Hell, maybe it's even before I think then.
Hell, I don't remember.
Because they fell off a cliff there for a little while after that.
They went to the tournament in 2000 and 2001, and then
it's like it's 01, 02. I've got them at 12-16 overall.
Yeah, no, they didn't do 0-2. Then in 3, they went to the Sweet 16 with Marquise Daniels.
Okay, it doesn't matter at all.
So it must have been 2000 or 2001.
99-2000, they went 24-10, 9-7 in the league.
Okay, so it was the next year.
Okay. Yeah, doesn't matter. I don't know. Does Scooney Penn have a career?
I played a little bit, I think.
Did he?
Yeah. You never know where we're going with this here podcast.
I was just curious.
Yeah.
I mean, I know Michael Redd obviously did.
Yeah,
so
Michael Redd had a long NBA career.
He could shoot a little.
He could shoot a lot. He made some big shots that day in Knoxville. I was ready for them to get beat. That was the week that they sent me in Indianapolis, and they sent me early. And then I had to drive from Indianapolis to Blacksburg to cover a women's
game.
That's
right.
And I got iced in.
You were a happy camper, weren't you?
I was pissed by the end. I got iced in.
But you're already there. Why not?
I got iced in Florence, Kentucky, barely made it to Blacksburg in time to cover the game.
Ooh.
Did laundry in Blacksburg at 3 a.m. and then drove to Knoxville to cover media stuff. And when they played Ohio State, man, I was ready for them to get beat.
What are you flying to for Blacksburg?
I drove.
I know, but where would you?
I don't know. But I drove from Birmingham to Indianapolis to Blacksburg.
Were you on the beat when they played the NIT game at Tech? Like 08?
I had just started, but I didn't go.
Did Wyke still go?
Wyke went, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I knew some people had gone to Virginia Tech because that was the story that David Brand always tells about when he and Parrish Alford were traveling together and David accidentally locked the keys in the car. And anyone who knows Parrish knows he really has a schedule he likes to keep. And he thought David thought that Parrish might be having a panic attack at some point while trying to get a locksmith to get the keys out of the car.
Because he was getting off the schedule.
Oh, that would be off the schedule, yes. I think he actually locked him in the trunk. I think he had opened the trunk, put the keys in the trunk, and closed the trunk is what he had done. But, yeah, David tells a more lengthy version of that story that's pretty humorous if you have any idea of Parrish's scheduling tendencies. And to his credit, he stays on schedule, and he's very resolute in his scheduling. So
he is.
Anyway.
It's so funny about Parrish, too, man, because, by the way, this team was 98, 90.
Oh, even farther
99.
Back.
They went 29-4, 14-2.
So who are their four losses? Do you have it?
Let's see. Yeah, I can pull it up.
Okay. See how many big names are on that schedule. Check Mr. McCready's work all these years later.
Well, they didn't really play anybody the whole season, so they're
They lost four.
Yeah.
Kentucky, Ohio State.
They won their first 17 games.
All right.
They lost at Kentucky.
Okay. Can't really hold that against them, though.
They actually went – yeah, this was the game I remember. They won this game in Starkville, 76-73. And after that game, I can remember it was either Fishback and or Doc Rivers were like, man, I've never played in a louder building. Like, it was just – I don't know how we got through that thing. They were rattled.
And that had been a couple years after State's Final Four because that was 96.
Yeah, and this was – like, they went to Ole Miss and won by 15. They played Ole Miss at home later in the season and won by 29.
It's a pretty good Ole Miss team. Ole Miss team's pretty good.
Yeah, that was an Ole Miss team that made the tournament.
Yeah.
Beat Alabama by 41. Beat a good Vanderbilt team by 18. Went to Arkansas and lost. This was the beginning of it. Went to Arkansas and lost by 16.
Ooh.
And then they went to State to finish the regular season, won by 3.
And then Kentucky, Ohio State.
They beat Alabama in the tournament. Then they lost to Kentucky by 12. They beat Winthrop 80-41. They beat Oklahoma State 81-74. And they lost to Ohio State 72-64 on March the 18th.
There's your 20-year anniversary of the Auburn Tigers update here on the Oxford Exxon podcast.
Not quite 2019.
Not quite 2019. The podcast is also brought to you by the Blow Dry Bar, Oxford, 662-638-3310, 1801 Jackson Avenue, 10 to 6, Tuesday to Friday, Saturdays 10 to 3. When you head in Rebel Grove, tell them Rebel Grove sent you, the podcast sent you. You will get a discount on a blowout. They offer many other things, including keratin treatment, spray tans,
blowout.
Gotcha. That is correct. So take care of the woman in your life. Get them a gift card for the Blow Dry Bar, Oxford. If you are a part of the 4% listing, head on in. They'll take care of you. My wife has been. 8%. I've known several people to go as well. It is a good time and something you should take advantage of with the discount there. So, again, 662-638-3310 for more.
My column on Saturday night was brought to you by Pinnacle Trust. It's still up on the site at rebelgrove.com. Pinnacle Trust, also a sponsor of this particular podcast. Pinnacle Trust, based in Madison, Mississippi, represents clients in 24 states, has advisors in 3 states, founded in 1997. Pinnacle Trust provides detailed, specialized investment management, financial planning, retirement planning for individuals and businesses, and much more. At Pinnacle Trust, investing is treated like a commodity and decisions are made using objective information and research, not emotions. So regardless of your level of wealth, Pinnacle Trust will sit down with you, listen to your goals, study your expenses, and put forth a comprehensive, detailed financial and retirement plan. Cookie-cutter financial planners put you in a box. Pinnacle Trust builds a box just for you. To learn more about Pinnacle Trust, go to pintrust.com. That's PINNTrust.com. Mention you heard about Pinnacle Trust on the podcast, and you'll get 10% off your first year's fee. Also brought to you by the Westin Jackson. Go to Estelle Wine Bar and Bistro there in the Westin Jackson. Sip on a creative craft cocktail or enjoy their curated wine list. It's open for breakfast, lunch, dinner, and Sunday brunch. Chef Caden's mission is to connect guests with the community through local partnerships, so gather at Estelle tonight. and we're brought to you by John Edwards of Regency Travel Incorporated in Memphis. So I've told you how this works. Whether you're looking to go, you're looking to book your summer trip to Florida or the Caribbean, or you're going to Scotland for golf, maybe you're going to St. Andrews, maybe you're planning an anniversary trip that you'll never forget, get in touch with John. He's part of Virtuoso. It's a worldwide network of travel partners that allows John to supply his clients with added values and unique benefits that are simply not available to other travelers. What you do is you call him and you tell him parameters, you know, when you're looking to go, how long you're wanting to go, what it is you want to do, most importantly, your budget. And then you just take a step back, go have a cup of coffee, go on with your day. You don't have to spend your time perusing the internet. He'll do that for you. And he's going to come up with options that you would not find on your own. 901-494-3387. Or send him an email, jedwards@regencytravel.net. First-time clients can save $50 off their first book trip just by telling John you heard about Regency Travel on the podcast.
Podcast is brought to you by Visit Oxford. You see the full calendar of events at visitoxfordms.com. And you can see about the pop-up Oxford week that is coming. That's popupoxfordms.com for the complete schedule. It's January 19th through 27. You got everything from Ole Miss basketball, including the Ole Miss softball team. You can meet them on the 19th at the Ole Miss Arkansas men's basketball game. On the 26th, a week later, for Ole Miss and Iowa State, the men's baseball or the baseball team will be there for to be met as well. We got Mississippi Monday at the movies. You got MLK breakfast. You got hotel hop, songwriters competitions, community reading, and much more. So again, that's the pop-up Oxford, January 19th through 27. You can see the full details at popupoxfordms.com. Sort of an Ole Miss connection here a little bit. Was hired for a cup of coffee the second time around. See Bruce Feldman reporting that Matt Lubick is leaving coaching for a business opportunity. The guy that was hired by Ole Miss for like a day last year.
Yeah.
Was on the staff with Orgeron long ago and then back last year. Ended up at Oregon and Baylor and all over the place.
So oh, yeah.
He is leaving coaching to head back to native Colorado for a private sector business opportunity.
Yeah, good for him.
Good for him.
I don't know the guy.
Yeah, I mean, fine, whatever.
But, you know.
Just want to get out. People use the word breaking news too much. Press releases are not breaking news, no matter what press release says. I don't really care.
True.
But there is some news here. Ole Miss linebacker, former Ole Miss linebacker, Patrick Willis has been elected the College Football Hall of Fame today. So
good for him.
Patrick Willis makes the 10th former player or coach to be inducted to the College Football Hall of Fame as a Rebel. So,
he was a really good player.
They elected 15. He is one of the 15. He will be officially inducted December 10th, 2019 in New York City at an awards dinner. So Matt Luke has a quote on this that I'll put on the board. Ross Bjork has a quote. Patrick Willis, as you know, played from 2003 to 2006. He won the Butkus Award and the Lambert Trophy as the nation's best linebacker in 2006. Couldn't quite get on the field early in his career, but found a way to make it work later on. It's good for him. Let's see. He ranked sixth all-time at Ole Miss with 355 tackles. That might be the biggest number for that, is somehow he does not lead the team all-time in tackles had he, you know, played more. But anyway, no shot or anything.
I'm
just stating facts. That's what we do here. So Patrick Willis in the College Football Hall of Fame.
On a team that was really, really close to winning a championship, he might have made a difference.
I think he could have played linebacker on that team?
I'm guessing.
He almost killed the Alabama return guy on one of the kickoff returns, which is the one highlight you have of him from that 2003 season when they showed the videos and stuff.
I'm just going to go out on a limb and guess that Patrick Willis 2 years earlier could have played. It's just a guess.
It was really the epitome of the Orgeron era, is that hit he had on the LSU kid that they always show. He picks him up and drives him into the ground. That the kid got a first down on the play. He crossed the line and then gets picked up because it was just Willis and a bunch of dudes.
Yeah, and LSU won that game by like 40.
It was 49-3 or something.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Something crazy.
Yeah, but he was very, very good on a team that was not very good. He was kind of there by himself. So anyway, there's that. Have you ever felt worse for a football player in your life than Cody Parkey this morning?
No.
I know it was tipped, but man. Not one bar, but two.
It was a little low.
Because a kick that distance in the NFL should not get blocked unless something's wrong.
You got to get it up in the air a little.
Yeah. Hit six posts this year.
Yeah.
Twice as many as any other kicker.
And then hits two on that kick. Because the ball goes down, and if it just hits a little differently, it falls over. And
everybody goes, whew.
Yeah, can you imagine?
It's a joke at that point.
You know, it's funny. It does show you in all sports, it's always funny. Whatever your Achilles heel is in the postseason, it always gets exposed.
Yeah.
Always. It's like karma. What gets lost in that game is two things. One, sports is a lot more – football for me is a lot more fun when I was watching and not caring.
See, let me start there because we did not talk yesterday, but judging by message board posts, you seemed a little down over that game, a little annoyed yesterday.
Carson broke into tears.
Okay, see, that's where I was probably going was it was probably a Carson reaction because I get it's your team, but I have a hard time believing you had grown an emotional investment to the Bears over the course of this season.
A little more than I thought I did as that game unfolded. Yeah.
Okay.
I was really into it. I got as into that game as I've gotten into a game in a long time.
See, that surprises me a little bit because I thought, just from a fandom standpoint, I kind of have a hard time believing I would get a connection to a team over one short season.
So you got to remember this. Okay. A lot of people out there are not going to like what I'm about to say, but it's true.
That's fine.
And you know what I'm about to say.
Go ahead.
I love the Cubs. But the last Cub team last year, I didn't like that team. And by the end, I was fighting the urge to cheer against them. I didn't like their body language. I didn't like a lot of the stuff.
No, compared to, say, the 16 team, you had a weird sort of schadenfreude about that team last year that you sort of enjoyed.
I took some pleasure in their loss the night that they lost. And it's the honest truth. When they lost to the Brewers, I took some pleasure in it. When they lost to the Rockies, I found it amusing. The Thunder hasn't been a competitive team, and I didn't like the Thunder team last year. This team's a little more fun to cheer for because they're just a little better, but they're not a competitor. The Thunder is not winning a title.
No, they've got a little engine that could about them.
And the Bears... I liked this team. Their defense is really good.
It was fun.
I like Trubisky. He seems like a good kid.
Seems fine.
You know, just kind of liked him. And there was a little part of me that watched him and thought, when you play defense that good, you'll have a chance in games. Now, they would have been a big underdog in L.A., but they would have had a shot. And they would have been an even bigger underdog in New Orleans, but they would have had a shot.
No, that defensive pass rush gives you a shot. There's
and
no
Trubisky
doubt.
Played okay yesterday once he settled in.
Frankly, he showed a lot of toughness to me because at halftime of that game, I kind of thought, yeah, this dude is what he is. I didn't really respect him. I kind of thought this is him, and he was good in the fourth quarter. Was he great? No, but he did what he had to do. He got him in field goal range.
Well, he made two really good throws, and quite frankly, the throw on third down. If the receiver runs the route a little better, it might be a touchdown. But he threw that ball. You have to make that throw. That ball has to either be overthrown or completed.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do anything else. And he threw it deep, and it was overthrown a little bit, but whatever. And then Parkey comes out, and he got to make that kick. And the NFL kicker's got to make that kick. 43 yards to win the game, to advance in the playoffs, you have to make that kick. But – to answer your question, yeah, I did get into the Bears this year. I don't have – this pisses people off. I don't have a college team. I'm that weird person that went to two schools and has degrees from two schools and just has no emotional attachment to either one. That's weird. I admit it's weird. I admit it's different. It's the truth. And so I kind of got into the Bears, and Carson got real into the Bears, and it was fun. And I hated it for him last night because when it ended, he just – really struggled with it. It was his first taste of it, and he said, I hate Chicago sports and blah, you know, all that stuff. And it's like,
dude, you're 11.
You're 12. It's going to be okay. And they're going to be better. And I did like what Nagy said after the game last night, which is, you know, we're on schedule.
You can't waste this defensive window.
We'll remember this, but they also know that they need to go out and probably invest in another playmaker on the offensive side of the ball. And I don't know what they do with Parkey. I can't imagine that they keep him.
His contract's fully guaranteed next year.
So they probably at least give him a chance.
Well, look, it's a little spin because, like you said, the ball was low. You're bailed out a little because it was tipped. Just a little, just a smidge to give you a shot there.
You know, it probably helped him sleep last night a little, knowing that the ball got tipped by the end of a middle finger.
If you're Peterson, do you call timeout the way he did? I'm not a big icing fan. Frankly, I don't like giving pro kickers a measurement.
No, because
I think I actually would have let the first one go.
He let him have a practice kick.
That's what I'm saying. I think I would be different.
He made the practice kick.
That's what I'm saying. I think a lot of coaches do it because they know the media criticizes them if they don't.
Yeah, I would not.
I would not.
What I would do right there is go stand next to the official and then not do it. So that the kicker's over there thinking, well, he's going to call timeout. Yeah, and then maybe he lackadaisical.
Well, and, even though he gave him the measurement, he called it early enough to where Parkey just sort of walked up there and kicked it. He was not in full.
Yeah, because they asked Parkey about it, and he goes, no, I heard the whistle. I knew it was a practice kick.
Yeah, he just went up there and hit it and moved on with his day.
But he knew at that point, hey, I can make this kick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you get pro kickers 42-yard kicks with measurements. I mean,
go watch the replay. The trajectory of the ball changes.
Mm-hmm.
It just changed the spin. If it doesn't get tipped, it's a made kick. He drilled it. Because he goes back and he says, I hit it well. And he probably did.
Yeah, sure, whatever. Well, 42 is just long enough to have to kick it a little lower, though.
Yeah.
That's just enough to kind of.
Here's the thing. They talked about defense all year, and their defense was really good. And in the fourth quarter, when they needed a stop, they couldn't get it. And that fourth and goal was as big of a play in the game as the kick.
Well, of course. It's over if you don't get it.
If you make it, if you make a stop right there on fourth down, Cody Parkey.
Now, you had made three. I get it. I understand the curve we're talking about having to play with here, but that's.
That was a.
Also, the Eagles, I mean, I get they had the Super Bowl win, but they're good in general. If there's one team I don't want to have to defend from the 2-yard line, it's the Eagles. They are so creative and so good close to the goal line.
And tall receivers.
Yeah.
And Foles throws high.
I think it was Collinsworth that talked about they could go above the rim more than most teams the way they get down the field through the secondary.
And they have Jason Peters is one of the few offensive tackles in the league that can kind of handle Mack a little bit. Mack only made a couple of plays that were impactful.
Yeah, I thought Hicks was more of a player on the game, but
Hicks was great. What's his name? 94 Floyd. Was more impactful. Fuller was impactful in the secondary. They had a late hit on one of the drives that kept the Eagles on the field, and they ended up scoring. One of those stupid hits at the end of a play where DBs have played this way their whole lives, and you've got to get it through to them. Don't make the extra hit. The odds are it's going to be a penalty now.
Well, and then on the Eagles side, if Parkey makes that kick, Michael Bennett's the guy that lost the game because the Bears are ready to punt. Bennett had that personal foul, kept the Bears on the field. They go down and score and change the whole game right there.
Well, and that corner kept jumping routes.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's what they were teaching him to do, but it opened up some big plays for the Bears. And frankly, there was a couple plays where if the receiver doesn't stumble, it's a touchdown.
Yeah. Yeah, I tweeted about this. I turned the game on, and because full disclosure, I was watching golf before this, and I kind of turned it on. And I didn't know who I wanted to win. I kept going back and forth in my head what I wanted to happen in this game. And I said, let me just watch it for a minute. And as we talk about, when you're watching the game, even if you don't care, you kind of pull for one team or the other. I said, let my body kind of dictate this a little bit. And I found myself pulling for the Eagles. And I thought, because it gives the Saints a much harder game next week, but it gets the Bears the hell out of there. And I think that was the goal, was just get that defense out of there and let's deal with somebody else. Because I would much rather play the Cowboys than play the Eagles next week from just the standpoint of the teams. But I thought, down the road, let's avoid Chicago. Because I think the Rams are almost certainly going to beat Dallas next Saturday, and then you would get a L.A. New Orleans game if the Saints beat the Eagles on Sunday afternoon.
Right.
So I think I made the right choice, but in my head I was going, hey, let's play Dallas next week. Let's just do one at a time. But then you look at that defense and went, I don't really want that. I don't want to deal with those guys. So whatever. I was really happy for Andrew Luck, for a guy that I do not know, on Saturday.
Seems like a really good dude.
Yeah, I mean, just the played comeback story.
Played really well.
Just beat the crap out of him.
Well, he looked like an MVP caliber quarterback at that
I'm so intrigued by Chargers Patriots next week. Phillip Rivers trying to find a legacy here.
I think the Chargers are going to win.
I do too. They're better. I mean, the Chargers aren't the one seed simply because they're in the same division as the Chiefs.
I think there's a decent chance it's Chargers Colts. Who's the five and who's the Chargers of the five?
Yeah, Chargers of the five. Real unlucky. Well, they're not unlucky because the Colts are the six, I guess.
It could be Indianapolis at the Chargers for the AFC title. Wouldn't surprise me at all.
I think I'd give the Colts the edge there.
Oh,
I think the Chargers get really, really tight in an AFC championship.
I've told you this for a few weeks.
I think they play loose as can be against the Patriots, but then I think it might get tight on the Chargers after that.
I don't know what it is, but I watched the Colts a good bit down the stretch, and they played really well.
I don't like the Chiefs in this playoffs.
No.
They feel like the one seed that doesn't get –
It's also Mahomes' first playoff game.
Yeah.
And I don't like quarterbacks in their first games.
Well, I mean, Trubisky took a minute.
Deshaun Watson took a long time. Actually, it didn't happen. Yeah. Lamar Jackson took him three quarters. He played well in the fourth.
Lamar Jackson is such an interesting case. And I've kind of put this in picks because I found some stats while we're putting Neil's picks in for the week. Was he rushed the ball more than any quarterback in NFL history for a season. And he didn't start a game to week 11. Had that extrapolated out for 17 weeks, the only person in the NFL who would have carried the ball more than Lamar Jackson is Ezekiel Elliott, running back for the Cowboys. There's no way in the world that holds up over 17 weeks,
not
16
year after
games.
Year, no.
So it was that deal where in some ways, as crazy as this is, this might have been his best shot because he just has to go win three games, four games. He didn't have to go through a season and then win. He was able to play a playoffs without the wear and tear of the regular season coming through. I mean, if I'm the Ravens, I get how flashy he is, but I just don't think that's a long-term answer for success there. And he's better than he gets credit for, but he's not some great thrower of the football. He's not going to sit back in the pocket and win games. So the Ravens, frankly, don't scare me as a franchise moving forward at all if he's the quarterback. If you're Harbaugh, I'm out. I go somewhere else.
Oh, yeah, I do too.
There's a lot of openings right now. The Packers want him. Go to Green Bay.
And if I'm Frank Reich, I'm excited about next season already because I'm going to have a healthy Andrew Luck mm-hmm. behind an offensive line that can protect him.
Mm-hmm.
Hello.
Window's still open.
That window got open fast. It went from wide open to closed to open again. They were like breaking panes out of that window the other day. That window's like wide open.
Dylan texted me this morning, and I'm having that because I know the window's so close to closing. I'm almost dreading this week. I'm already just – frankly, it's not even enjoyable. I'm dreading Sunday.
See, I would have much rather, as a Saints fan, played the Cowboys.
Yeah, but the Bears would still be alive was the problem.
Well, I get it, but the Bears and the Rams were going to play each other, and one of them was going to get beat. I would much rather play the Cowboys.
Yeah.
Because I'd much rather, if you're listening to the Golden Triangle, put this in perspective. Much rather face Dak Prescott than Nick Foles.
Oh.
Nick Foles can beat you. Nick Foles can match you in a slugfest.
His team completely trusts him. Frankly, they trust him more than they do Wentz.
For whatever reason. And it just is. And then on the other side, Prescott, nah.
Fine.
He's fine. He plays hard.
It's what everybody hates, but it's the truth. They are wasting so much talent around him.
That's the story, and no one wants to tell it because everyone's in love with the Dak Prescott story. And I get it.
They're wasting their window because of. I mean, you have potentially the best running back in the game, not named Todd Gurley.
Well, no, he is the best running back in the game, not named Todd Gurley. He's a Hall of Fame running back.
You have a offensive line that's incredibly good, and frankly, a defense that doesn't even get respected to the point it is. It's really, really good.
And now you have Cooper.
Yeah.
You're kind of loaded.
Got a weapon on the outside.
You're kind of loaded.
And they're going to go to L.A. and lose Saturday.
Yeah.
Gurley's healthy. They're going to lose that game.
Yeah.
The Rams are going to win.
Yeah.
The Rams are going to host the Eagles or go to New Orleans.
The Rams are going to go to New Orleans. We're going to get the game we've always thought we'd get. That's what I did tell Carson last night.
The Saints exposed the Eagles' secondary, I think. They did beat them by 40 the last time they played.
What I told Carson, I said, look. Number one, they're young. They're building for next year, not this year. And number two, they were going to have a hard time in L.A.
Their road was not easy the rest of the way.
No, I think if you're a Bears fan and you're a person who understands
the process. No, you would like to have gotten the one win just to do it and get that monkey off your
back. You'd like to get a win, get another playoff experience so that you're not all that tight stuff.
But even the most optimistic Bears fan, it was a hope, not an expectation that, hey, we're going to go to L.A., then we're going to go to New Orleans. And we're, because your thought next week would have been, please God, Eagles or whoever beat Cowboys, beat the Saints.
Absolutely.
Let's host Dallas. Let's do that, please.
You were hoping for
chaos.
Dallas to beat the Saints and then for a snowstorm to invade
L.A.
You know, Chicago.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, well, you were hoping that the Rams would lose. And,
yeah, remember that Saints game? Let's do that again. Let's get that kind of weather. Let's play that game.
So, you know, it's all good. That's what I told him, and they'll be back.
They were ahead of schedule because of Khalil Mack.
Yes.
That simple. They were a year ahead of schedule.
And Trubisky, if you go back and look at the numbers, and this was their fifth loss, and they didn't get blown out once. Mm-mm. They're good. And next season, the Saints are going to be a year older. The Rams are still going to be there, but if you look at the NFC North,
it's yours.
It's theirs. I mean, Lions are on the decline. Packers are on the decline. The Vikings are okay.
Yeah, thought on that in a second. Before we do that, I'll tell you the podcast also brought to you by G&M Pharmacy. Don't waste your time on the big change. Go somewhere you're appreciated. G&M is locally owned and operating. They care about the customers. Been Oxford's trusted hometown pharmacy for over 40 years and offer many great services such as MedSync, immunizations, and free delivery to your home or workplace. Conveniently located right off South Lamar Boulevard there in Oxford. And transferring your medication is simple. I've done it. I can attest to it. So you just give them a call at 662-236-2222, and they'll take care of the rest.
Podcast also brought to you by Oxford University Bank, OUB, locally owned and operated right here in Oxford. Excuse me, when you deposit money at OUB, that money and the vast majority of the bank's profits go right back into the Oxford community. OUB gives you the comfort of home, all the benefits the big mega banks provide, all the technology and products you can want, all with the personal touch. And when you call OUB, you speak directly with a live person. There's no 10 buttons. There's no 5-minute wait. OUB also has a commercial checking account now paying 1% interest as long as you keep $10,000 in the account. It comes with fully interactive online banking. They'll set it up for any local business to deposit their checks from their office and not have to worry about coming to the bank daily to deposit those checks. More than likely, any business owner at another bank is now paying a monthly fee for their account, and they are most assuredly not making 1% on their money. To learn more about OUB, check out liveoxfordbankoxford.com or call 662-234-6668. OUB is FDIC insured. And we're brought to you by Grenada Nissan. If you're in the market for a Nissan vehicle, look no further than Grenada Nissan. They have a complete selection of new and previously owned Nissan vehicles. Go in, test drive one today. Tell Gene and Sandy that you heard about Grenada Nissan on the podcast or at rebelgrove.com, and you'll get Rebel savings on top of the already great deals at Grenada Nissan. It's GrenadaNissanUSA.com.
Podcast is brought to you by MasterCut, 662-607-7773. Whether it's just signing your contract, they'll have to take care of you all year long once the weather warms up. They will do that. Been doing that for me for years. Also, I want to tell you that they still have a chance to get that custom playhouse, whether it's a castle or a princess sport or something along those lines. They will handle it there at MasterCuts. They do great work, whatever your need may be. Again, that's 662-607-7773. Yeah, you know, look, there's always parity in the NFL. I mean, somebody's going to emerge, somebody's going to be whatever, but just from the outside looking in the NFC for next year, the Saints window is still going to be open. The Rams have firm control of the West because the Seahawks are getting older and the 49ers are an abomination and the Cardinals are an abomination. And then you talk about there in the North, unless the Vikings kind of find something, it's probably the Bears. The East might be the only interesting division down the stretch when we look forward to 2019-20 a little bit. I mean, somebody's going to emerge. But as of right now, that's as three of clear frontrunners as you're going to find heading into an NFC season.
Yeah, and no one knows. I mean, the NFC East, it's Dallas, and it's Philly, and it's
– the Giants and the Redskins.
The Redskins are, I think, bad, and I don't know what the Giants are going to do. They might just go total rebuild. No one knows what the situation is with Eli Manning. So, who knows? But, yeah, Saints, Bears, Rams are still the three teams that you talk most about. And yet Philly, back in the divisional playoffs, as a defending Super Bowl champs, just kind of going, yeah, sleep on us.
At some point, they're going to lose. That's the way you kind of like playing them this week, is they're just kind of undermanned in spots. Yeah. The Trubisky did not have the ability to hurt them down the field like the Saints were able to when they played and should be able to do this week.
I thought the Bears were too conservative in the first half. I thought they were trying to nurse Trubisky through the first part of the game. I would have liked to have seen them take some shots.
Anyone that's curious, the other members of that College Football Hall of Fame thing, Vince Young and Raheem Ismail are the two front runners or leaders or however you want to put it. And then the rest of them are Darren McFadden, Terrell Buckley, Ricky Dixon, London Fletcher, Jacob Green, Torrey Holt, Jake Plummer, Troy Polamalu, Joe Thomas, Lorenzo White, and then Willis finishing it up as I'm reading the full list there. So there are your College Football Hall of Fame inductees for this season. Darren McFadden, man. Carried Houston Nutt to an SEC West title.
He had a hell of a college career.
Would you have guessed he had a big-time NFL career, too? Surprised that it was just sort of mediocre?
Yeah, I would have thought he was going to be a star.
Running backs are hard to gauge, though, man.
Yeah.
I mean, they are so tough when you look at it, but I don't know. Anyway. Let's see. What else we got real quick? Holgorsen has been announced at Houston.
Yep.
John Sumrall watch still ongoing. However, that appears to be a Troy situation as much as anything, if only at this point.
And we wrote that.
Yeah.
Yesterday.
He interviewed at Troy yesterday, I believe, and then we'll see. I mean, they like him a lot there. I know he's discussed, you know, who he would bring, all that kind of stuff, but he's got to obviously get the job first. I think Ole Miss, he wanted to stay in Oxford if it was not for a head coaching job.
Sure.
It looks like that's going to happen. So we'll wait and see what Troy does and go on from there.
I heard his name I wrote this in 10 Thoughts. I think I wrote it on the board back in November. I heard his name with the Troy job in November when they at Troy believed that Neil Brown was going to go to Kansas State.
Right. He's always been on that AD's tongue, so.
Yeah. Makes sense.
Oh, it's fine. Yeah.
Speaks volumes for the – look, if he's still here next year, I don't know how the rest of the staff all shakes out. It's a really good staff.
Alabama-Clemson tonight for the college football national title. We're getting Clemson-Alabama 4 at this point.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
4?
It's kind of not like Rocky 4 where there were some storylines.
You have everyone talking about how it's bad for college football, except for the Clemson and Alabama riders talking about how it's the best thing in the world for college football. I'm stunned, really, by that situation. So.
Well, and the people who do well, if y'all want to change it, you got to beat them. You're kind of missing the point, national rider. There might be something.
A college football national rider puts his head in the sand better than any human being on earth.
Absolutely. It must be.
See nothing, hear nothing, shrimp cocktail at St. Elmo's.
You talk about the blow dry bar.
I do.
Those guys might go to a different kind of blow something bar.
Think so.
Accompanies them with NCAA events.
Because if they are not on a payroll, then they're really bad negotiators.
Yes.
One or the other. If it's a kindness of my heart, then.
I think it's. I've said this before. I think they just write stuff to please each other. Oh, gosh, Jim, that is a courageous column. Well, everyone's criticizing this game, and I'm going to write about how it's so great. Well, that is courageous.
Did you see the transcript from the Tua Tagovailoa press conference?
I did not.
I'm assuming this is legitimate. Somebody sent it to me. It looks like it came from a story, so take it from there. If it's not, whatever, apologize, but I think it is.
Okay.
Tua, question, reporter. Tua, some LA fans are going to be watching down here. How close were you to going to SC? Fair question. Good enough.
Okay.
To SC? I was pretty close to going to SC, but it was a family decision. I wouldn't look back. Tagovailoa's answer.
Okay.
And I can verify that he was going to SC were it not for Alabama, because I talked to him when he finished the visit at Ole Miss when they were kind of his three finalists or the three trips he was doing or whatever. I actually talked to him the day before he went to Alabama, and he was like, oh, Bama tomorrow, Auburn the next day, but SC, blah, 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 blah. So,
okay.
So what swung you to Alabama, swung your family members to Alabama, question mark?
Okay.
Tagovailoa's answer, quote, you got to ask my dad that question. Next question, I did ask him that question. no microphone, couldn't hear, whatever. Then that was the answer because my dad is the person who helped me make that decision. That's all I would say.
Nothing to see.
As Cam Newton famously said, it's an ongoing investigation.
This is, look. I'm not knocking any particular reporters. I could single out one or two. I'm not going to. I don't want to. The people that don't at least acknowledge the possibility that these two programs are where they are because they're so far outside the lines. You're just not being honest with yourself. And I get that if you write that.
Frankly, I think Georgia's more outside the lines than anyone else right now.
I don't disagree with that at all. And they're going to be a force.
Alabama and Clemson have the best mechanisms in place at this point.
But if you don't at least acknowledge that, you're not doing your job. And I get that by acknowledging that, maybe you run the risk of being treated like Stephen Godfrey is treated, where he's a black sheep. But
because he's the only one out completely out there, and Staples does this really, I guess, impressive job of going right down the fence.
Yeah.
Just right down the fence.
He kind of says it without saying it.
Yeah.
And it's just far enough, I'll say it, which is probably why I'm never going to be in that spot, which is fine. I don't really care to be. There was a day that I wanted that. I don't want that. Look, you had a good answer. Is it bad for college football? Okay, well, for it to be bad for college football, you have to say that this game is going to hurt the sport. And I don't think that.
No.
I think the sport is fine.
I am fascinated at ratings tonight, however.
I do think the ratings will be down. And I do believe that there are going to be empty seats.
Well, there are going to be empty seats.
Ratings are down, and I do think that it should cause some conversation. I don't know that the NCAA wants to get anywhere near that conversation, and so it probably won't, but it should. Because while it's not bad for the game, I don't think it's good for interest in the game.
I'm typically a pretty big watcher of this game. I will not turn this game on until it is close in the late third quarter. That is when it will get me if it's close.
People think I'm joking. Tonight is the best night of The Bachelor. Because they roll out. No, it's fun. Because
I know what you're saying. I understand.
Here's what's fun. I get to absolutely.
This is the meet the 25 contestants.
Yes,
night.
And I get to piss off the three women in my house. By predicting, and I damn promise you I'll nail it, because I get it every single year.
We are 100% going to get the psycho that's not going to get eliminated to like third or fourth place.
So what I do is I watch this show, and I predict which four he's going to take to the fantasy suite. Because this whole show is designed to get four different women, most of whom are kind of psycho, desperately wanting to hang on in bed four different nights in some exotic locale, and I get to
some hut somewhere,
and I get to predict who he takes to the hut, and I usually nail it 75 to 100%.
If I gave you two girls at the end of the night, you think you could pick the winner out of one of those two?
Yeah.
Okay. Because the winner is typically, even in the first episode, kind of displayed as the whatever.
Yeah, there's some production going on.
And the winner is typically sort of sane, kind of sane.
Kind of sane.
As you can be on the show to begin with.
Because you're not on the show to find the love of your life. Let's get this out.
Trista and Ryan.
One example where it worked out. But for the most part, you're on the show to become a star or to become,
or to get on the cruise, or whatever the next show is.
To get on the next show, which can catapult you into being an even bigger star.
It's a business decision.
Yes. And so part of that business decision is that when they ask you, hey, do you want to go to the fantasy suite? Yeah, I guess I got it.
How much time you get ahead of time, like when you're picked before you got to actually go do a production? Like, do you have 4 months to hire every trainer known to man and go, I'm going to?
Yeah, you have time. That's why they all look phenomenal in this deal.
Because as soon as this thing, you get picked, you go, hey, I'm.
I mean, if I'm 25 years old and I'm trying out for the Bachelorette.
And you get the call from ABC that goes, you're in.
You're in. All right.
The next day is.
I'm hiring a nutritionist.
A personal trainer.
The best personal trainer known to man. And I'm going someplace and I'm quitting my job for 6 months. I'm going someplace and I'm getting in the best shape of my life. I'm getting the best haircut, all hair jokes aside.
Yeah.
I'm getting the best clothes. This is my TV opportunity. And the last thing I'm worried about, the last thing I'm even thinking about.
Is the love of your life.
Is whether this girl is sleeping around with some of the other guys in the house. I don't care. I'm trying to get far enough in the show to get exposed so that I can get picked up as whatever. But yeah, I'm getting everything waxed and tanned.
Are we the Bachelor or the Bachelorette tonight?
Is the Bachelor. So 25 girls 25 coming
girls.
Out of,
okay.
Which is why it's going to be so much fun tonight, because I'm going to be like, she's got no chance. She's got a chance. And they'll tell me to shut up, and I'll keep going, and they'll kick me out of the room, and I'll do it from in here. I'll be loud and obnoxious, and it's fun. And they'll all hate me by 9 o'clock tonight, except they'll remember. Yeah,
By 9 o'clock, you can still catch 3 quarters because this thing isn't going to kick till like 8:15. So
is that right?
I don't know what time it starts. It's always late though.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. So that's what'll happen, but they'll remember. I'll plant that seed because April or May, when this thing finally ends, they'll be like, "He was right," and I'll be the guy that goes, "Told you." Told you it'd be Caitlin or Veronica or whoever, because you could see when she got out of the limo, she was going to do whatever it took. Okay.
There's your show today, ladies and gentlemen. We wrap up with the Bachelor, went over Auburn basketball history, and much more. So, RebelGrub.com, a lot of recruiting, a lot of other stuff. Nils 10 Weekend Thoughts, going to have some baseball recruiting stuff too that I need to throw out there this week, and more. We'll talk to you tomorrow.